shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have General Galen Shaw with us and your phone calls as we discuss proposals to, in my opinion, General, to limit truck drivers to make their job even tougher. Right now, we have increased fuel taxes on truck drivers. We have road usage taxes on truck drivers. There's certain limits as to how much they can carry. And now you want to enforce a one-month sabbatical on truckers so that they are off the road in case they need rest and relaxation because you think that they're mentally not fit.
Well, Bill, you've mischaracterized what I've said, and I'd like the opportunity to set the record straight.
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I feel that truck drivers, if there should be a road usage tax, it should be on people driving passenger cars, not on truck drivers.
And I agree.
However, you and I agree, but however, truck drivers need to pay the road usage tax because it will keep off the roads any one of them that may be ready to crack. That's what I'm talking about.
And wait a minute. You know, we got some guy out there Sunday driving with his family. He doesn't pay a road usage tax, but a guy that's transferring and transporting across the country vital goods, vital freight, he's got to pay a road usage tax because he may crack?
I'm talking about, if you've been listening the last hour, I'm talking about the need for a sabbatical for truckers in case they feel the need to, in case the pressure gets to them, where they find themselves thinking these dangerous thoughts. That's why we want that.
So, in other words, a road usage tax is going to keep fewer drivers from driving. Well, it'll keep fewer drivers on the road.
It could act as a screen against any that are on the borderline and may use their vehicle to run a passenger car off the road. And you just gave a very good example. If I'm a truck driver and I'm resentful of the fact that I've got to pay a road usage tax, while jackball, as you say, Phil, doesn't have to pay the road usage tax, I could tell you if I was driving a truck these days, my God, I'd want to run somebody, and the temptation is greater because look at the Mini Coopers now, look at the smaller cars, and you've got truckers now with every reason in the world to run someone off the road, and the temptation's greater because there's a guy going down the road in a little box like that. And if I was driving today, there would be no choice. I would want to drive right over top of that piece of you-know-what.
All right, 877-876-7445. You didn't answer my question, though. It sounds to me like you're playing both sides of the fence here. You know,
in what way?
Do you believe that the road usage taxes are unfair for truck drivers?
I think that right now they're fair because of the possibility that these guys are going to splinter and crack, and they will splinter, then crack, and then come apart.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go down to San Diego and... Dr. Sadler, go ahead, sir. Good to hear from you tonight.
Hi, Phil. I wanted to ask this man. I'm a psychiatrist. All right?
Yes, sir.
And if I'm driving in my car and my job has just been to analyze a truck driver who has been told he must go to a psychiatrist in order for him to be analyzed, right, according to your new law?
Yes, sir.
And I'm driving home from having given that man the benefit of my professional understanding, and he has decided that, or another truck driver has decided to see me because you mentioned a Mini Cooper. I drive one.
All right.
So that's a temptation in your mind for a truck driver to want to drive over top of me and run me into an oil tanker, is I think what you said.
Well, no, I said if you were in a Mini Cooper, my temptation was to crush the life out of you. Now, you said...
Even though I've just helped you with your mind.
Well, I don't think it's very likely that I would leave your office and then see you in your Mini Cooper out on the freeway and want to crush you. Is that what you're saying?
Not you.
It could be anybody.
Yes, it could be anybody.
It could be anybody, any truck driver.
Yes.
I would say, sir, that you would be a casualty. In my line of work, that's called collateral damage. As much as we may appreciate what you do in the psychological field, you would be crushed and turned into just a flat... you'd be a nothing but a flattened-out guy.
All right, so...
As a psychologist, Dr. Sandler, as a psychologist, is there, in your experience, some threat, something, some mechanism... That could go haywire with truck drivers, the same way with soldiers?
Well, I think we find that in soldiers, truck drivers, there are professions that have an inordinate amount of stress.
Why don't you get to the point? And
excuse me, but I'm trying... Excuse me.
Let the doctor finish.
Well, he's all mush mouth. He's going... Blah, 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 blah. The point that I'm making...
Excuse me, sir, but I was polite with you, and I'd appreciate it.
Go ahead.
Well, never mind.
Yeah, see, he hung up, Mr. Henry, because he knows he's got no point. He knows he's got no point.
Oh, I haven't hung up. I put the phone down to calm down.
Oh, so that's interesting. So, in other words, rather than lose your temper, you put the phone down.
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You put the phone down or you give them a sabbatical.
Yes, but you lied. There's something about you that I don't like.
Well, there's a lot about you that I don't like. I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you sound. You don't... I would not have you in my army.
Because I sound like a fruit.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm a bodybuilder, and I'm married to a woman who's very beautiful.
I don't believe it. I'll never believe it. You'll never get me to believe it.
And right, now I'm going to hang up, and I hope you die from an explosion.
What an idiot. Of course I'm going to... Well, I'm not going to die from an explosion now. And
all right. Thank you, General. I got to take a break here. That was the most ridiculous exchange I've ever heard in my life. And we'll be right back here with General Galen Shaw. 877-876-7445. Unreal.
Truth.
Is it possible?
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Everything that I've done in my life and career.
I understand that, General, and I appreciate that. I don't think anybody is trying to say that you haven't been patriotic. Your ideas, and we're back here live on the Phil Hendry Show with General Galen Shaw, your idea to have truck drivers take enforced psychiatric exams to stay off the road for a month, to have a rest and relaxation, drug test, and so on and so forth, are based exclusively on your own experiences. Your thoughts of running people off the road, your ideas that, the people around you, you said looked like, quote, running gooks?
That was based on, no, that never happened to me. I'm saying, based upon my truck driving experience, I can see how being a truck driver now that I've had my military experience, how being a truck driver is like being in the bush. It's like being out on patrol, and you're wondering when it's going to end. Every day, you're out in that truck.
Well, I haven't heard one comment from any driver calling this program who would echo any of those sentiments. 877-876-7445. Here is Joe. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, sir. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Fine.
My main question is, how can you compare somebody shooting at you from inside of tree lines, off of roofs, to driving a truck? Those are completely different stress points.
Well, but they are stress points nonetheless. And while, of course, for instance, would you say flying a jet aircraft in wartime is that stressful? Yes, it is. But it's different from being a foot soldier. It's different from being a sailor on a ship in wartime. But at the same time, they're both. And so if you're a truck driver and all you see around you are ragheads, you see?
I don't see ragheads. What is a raghead, sir?
Well, now, you just laughed. So the idea of treating other drivers as if they're the enemy gives you joy.
Who's
no,
the enemy,
no.
They got drivers out on the road. Other drivers.
No, they're not my enemies.
Well, they're not your enemy. All right, look, I'm going to give you an example. Your name is Joe. All right, Joe, you're driving downhill in an 18-wheeler. You've thrown that thing into low. You're doing all you can to stop the momentum of that truck from exceeding a particular speed going down the hill. Now, all of a sudden, darting in front of you is a car because he wants to get off at the next exit. And he darts in front of you, giving maybe, what, a car length between the two of you, if that. You don't want to gun it and drive right over top of him. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I don't.
Oh.
See, first of all, that would jeopardize my life, along with their lives. And
are you angry at them? Are you angry at them? Are you angry at them?
Family's food coming in. So, no, I don't want to do that.
Are you angry at them?
No.
Oh, well, that's not true, because I've seen truckers get really angry at somebody darting in front of them, and I've asked them, how did it feel? And they said, I'll tell you what, I wanted to do something bad.
What good would it do me?
Well, okay, good point, sir, all of it. This man that we're talking to right now, this Joe, sounds like the sanest guy I've talked to tonight. Why do you keep wanting to attribute to that man crazy thoughts?
Well, because I think he's keeping a lid on them. I can hear him. You know, he has that tone of voice that I've seen in the bush. I've seen it out in battle where they just, oh, I'm fine. Everything's good. The hell you are fine or good. I take one. I can tell by the look on that guy's face he's crazier than a crap house rat.
877-876-7445. Let's go to another phone call here. We have Lamario on the line. Lamario, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with General Shaw. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm so pleased and thankful for the get-in on this tonight. I'm a truck driver, and I'm going to have to really agree with the general, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm most definitely, because I was raised in the military. My father's in the military, and so I've kind of seen both sides, too. And I'm going to tell you, right today, I was in Alabama, and me and some truck drivers got into it on my CB, and you hear the most racial slurs. The most, just the duties of the job is hard at times. You got, like you said, you got these four-wheelers and cars, and they do piss you off. I mean, road rage is not like it's fake. It is live. It happens, and people have died from it just from in four-wheeler road rage. And 18-wheelers is such a big difference, too.
And don't you want to run one of those? Don't you want to run them right off the road, no matter who they are?
If I'm not wanting to run them off, they want to run me off. You know, so, yes, it's a battle. I mean, every day it is.
It's dog-eat-dog. It's dog-eat-dog out there. And when you've got some cracker, you got some cracker out there. And
Wait, what are we talking about here? Racial slurs between black drivers and white drivers?
But let me get to the point. Let me get to the point about
you want to take those guys and you want to brag their ass. That's what you want.
The reason drivers need the month off, and you can compare it to the military with the killing and the suicide rate, is because most suicide and most homicides, emotional homicides, is done from a love dispersed. It's done from a love negligence. And like,
love dispersed. Right.
Love dispersed, did you say?
Don't worry, Mr. Hendry. I understand what he said.
I love disconnectment.
Love district.
I'm away from home. I'm not seeing my children. I'm not seeing my loved ones. And I'm out here working.
And you,
dealing with the stress.
And you need to get back to love district. Yes.
Yes. And
love district.
Disconnect.
That's, And that's what I'm talking about as well. That's what I'm talking about as well, Mr. Henry. When these truck drivers are out there and they are removed from the Love District.
What do you mean, Love District?
It's the district that you... It's the district of love. And if you don't have it, then have a care, is what I've got to say about that. Let me tell you what. Have a care.
Now, I don't know what Love District is. This is a new term.
Why don't you ask that guy that called from San Diego that sounded like he swallowed his own tongue? You could ask him.
You know, Dr. Sadler called in to try to help you, and what he got from you was so much disrespect that at the end of that phone call, he wanted you to get blown up.
Yeah, I heard that. That's very healthy. Great psychologist. Thank God I wasn't coming to him in distress as a soldier who is having evil thoughts. The last bad thoughts that I had were when I was a truck driver and I wanted to do some damage with an 18-wheeler on a Mini Cooper. I can only hope and pray that the next time I feel that way, Dr. Sadler sits there in front of me with his big ears.
Well, how do you know he's got big ears?
A guy like that has probably got the most irritating silhouette on Earth. The most irritating silhouette on Earth. And I'll bet you if I was looking through the rear window of his Mini Cooper, which right away pisses me off, and I saw his silhouette, I bet you he's got big Dumbo ears. And nothing, and I mean nothing, irritates me more than looking and seeing the silhouette of a guy with big fan ears.
I think, General Shaw, if you are open-minded enough to listen, I think you have some issues. And because you have issues doesn't necessarily mean that others have issues.
No, I don't have issues. What I have is a normal irritation at a guy in a Mini Cooper that thinks he owns the road with his big ears and his psychology degree.
877-876-PHIL is the number here. Let's go to another call. We've got Carl on the line. Carl, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, like I said a while ago, I've been out here for 30 years on this road. I've never wanted to kill nobody. I've never wanted to hurt nobody. I'm not away from my family like everybody thinks you are. You're gone 7 to 14 days at a time. But if you keep in contact with your family, you got pictures of them, you've got your love with you all the time. And your love for your fellow man should be enough to keep you from wanting to hurt them. And I think people like the general and the other guy that was in the military, they're using their military disconnect to make us look like we're damn fools out here on this road, and we're not. There's a lot of civilian drivers out here that respect the fellow man, and those two do not respect each other or anybody else. And I think they both need to be put in a nut house somewhere.
Well, sir, I would ask you, are you familiar? So you're saying that you always remain within the Love District?
Always. As long as I can talk to my wife and my kids on the phone, yes, I'm in the Love District. You might be right.
Let me ask you this. You've got a Mini Cooper in front of you that just cut you off, and the guy driving it, his silhouette, two big ears.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Don't you want to run him down?
No, I don't. I want to stop and explain to him just how stupid he is for cutting me off at the incident that could happen to him. But no, I don't want to hurt him. That's the other thing from my
mind.
Is hurting somebody.
Right. This is what Carl just said. He said, respect for our fellow man, not just other drivers, not just other truck drivers, but our fellow man.
Well, that all sounds very nice and very cozy. And I appreciate, Carl, you and Mr. Henry having the better view of mankind. But unfortunately, my name is Shaw. I'm a soldier. My job is to pick through the garbage on this earth, pick through the maggots, and throw them into the fire. You guys, you can sit there at home and be in your Love District. Meanwhile, I'm out there with the zombies. Did you ever see the Living Dead? Did you see that? That's where I am. I'm out with all the ghouls. Gunning them down, putting them on the fire. Gun them down, put them on the fire. That's my job.
What's that got to do with freeways and people driving safe?
I ask you a question. If the guy's in a Mini Cooper and he's got big ears, don't you want to run him over? And this guy wasn't honest.
Yes, he was honest.
Yes, the problem is
you're asking... Yeah, no kidding. You were honest. This, your question's nuts. That's the problem.
And I say you're nuts. You're nuts for the things you've said to the...
Put that guy on 87... Put him on hold. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. If his silhouette has big ears...
That's right. You heard me right. I don't stutter.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
You know,
and then you didn't back me up.
No, what I'm saying is, and welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, General Galen Shaw, as we discuss the rules of the road, the rules for truckers, and propose new rules that would have truckers take a month off for sabbatical so basically they don't flip out and try to run someone down. My thoughts on the current state of things for truckers is the following thing. You say you agree with me. I said, I think the road usage taxes are obscene. I think if anybody's going to pay a road usage tax, it ought to be people in cars, the four-wheelers, as they're called, not truckers.
Phil, I would ordinarily agree with that, but right now, with so many of these guys running around out there, and, in my opinion, hanging by a thread, we need a road usage tax to keep some of these nuts home. And
you still haven't proven to me that there's one nut out there, with all due respect, General, other than you.
I have not driven a truck, Mr. Henry, since I was in my early 20s. At that time, I had very abnormal thoughts. There's no question about it. I had very abnormal thoughts. And during that particular time, my relations with women were at a very abnormal and critical phase. There's no question about it. I've never denied any of it. But I'm telling you, if I was out there, then, my friend, there's got to be more than just me. I refuse to believe that I was the only one out there that had a tenuous relationship with the feminine sex and at the same time had a very profound and deep-seated problem with the way people's silhouettes look in cars. And
well, see, to me, that's very strange.
What is strange?
To be irritated by the shape of a silhouette in a car, I think, is a psychological problem.
Well, there's no question.
Okay, but I don't know how widespread it is.
I didn't hear what you said. It sounded, you said you don't know how it spread?
I don't know how widespread.
That phenomenon is.
Yeah.
I will bet you $1 million. It's very widespread.
Well, that's hardly proof.
I'm betting you $1 million. You don't call that proof?
No, it doesn't. No, I don't call it proof. You don't. First of all, have you got $1 million to lose?
I'm betting you. If I lost, I'd have to pay up.
No, that's not proof. That's just a barroom bet, General. With all due respect. 877-876-7445. Let's go to Mike on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Phil. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, sir. Thank you very much.
I believe that this general is somewhat of an officer with conduct unbecoming, has no idea or clue what he's talking about. I've been driving a truck. I've got several patches. I've got several accolades from different companies that I've worked for. I've never once thought of harming anybody out here on the road. I've never once thought of doing anything outside of being nothing more than a professional on and off the road, whether I'm driving a truck or whether I'm jumping out of the back of a C-130 with the airborne unit. And with all due respect...
So you have military experience. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, sir. With all due respect, I believe you're shell-shocked.
All right, young man. Well, young man, I am not. I can tell you I'm not shell-shocked. And I can also tell you that you know as well as I do, had we not taken preventative measures, then we would have had a hell of a lot more guys that we couldn't bring home with us. And that's what I'm proposing we do now with the freight, the transcontinental freight. We get these truckers off the road and find out if they've got this problem with silhouettes or whatever the problem is.
You know, this no, thing sir, with silhouettes.
I disagree, sir. I disagree. And the reason I disagree with you, sir, with all due respect, is the fact is that I work round the clock with some of the finest and utmost professionals in this job. And I would follow these guys down the road. I would follow them in combat. These guys are above and beyond the call of duty as far as professionals. These guys will stop and help you. These guys will stop and talk to you. These guys will show you things that show you shortcuts on how to do your job, show you ways of doing things that'll benefit you in the long run. Where you're sitting.
All right, well, that is commendable, but let me ask you this question, because this is very key. If you were sitting shotgun riding up in the cab with one of these men, and you found yourself hearing him say something about the guy in front, his silhouette bothered him, would you then take action?
Yes, I would, sir. Yes, I would, beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I've trained drivers for almost 14 years, sir, and with all due respect, I've never heard anybody worry about somebody's silhouette. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. I've never heard a truck driver out here wanting to harm somebody. You know, I've never heard of a truck driver. If you would take the time to look at the statistics on the national average, accidents involving trucks are the lowest they've ever been. You know why? Because the federal government keeps putting more and more regulations on top of us. As a professional, I have to stay on top of the regulations. I have to learn them. So there's every other driver out here. So therefore, you have to be able to separate the professional mentality you have from the mentality on a battlefield.
But I never in my wildest dreams ever thought that a frontal assault, when I knew a flanking action in seizing a gun emplacement, was the by-the-book war college tactic. I never thought that going right up the middle on the enemy would work, and yet it did twice in Vietnam.
Okay, look, General, can we not do... I don't like this comparison between battle in wartime in the Army and truck driving.
Well, this young man said he would take action if the driver with him had suddenly a silhouette problem. So I'm satisfied with that.
All right, let's go. Mike, thank you very much, and drive carefully, sir, and thank you for participating
thank you so
tonight.
Much.
877-877-876-7445. Let me go over to Kevin on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yes, sir. I'm kind of confused. I drive a truck. I was in the Army. I was a Ford Observer. And I'm completely astounded by the fact that this man was actually a general. He's appointed by the president, and he has this attitude. I don't see it.
What attitude? I don't understand. What attitude have I got? I'm trying to make the road safer. I'm also trying to make the road safer for drivers, so that our drivers have the right psychological treatment, and they're having the right rest and relaxation, so that they're not out there wanting to run a guy off into a river, into an aqueduct.
Well, sir, I'm sorry, but the Department of Transportation has rules and regulations that we abide by, and we can only drive a certain amount of time. Already, you said that you haven't driven a truck since your.
No, I haven't driven since I was 24 years of age.
Okay.
What I worry about, when I was driving, it irritated me to see a guy in a really small car cut me off, and then I'd look through the back window and see his silhouette, and he had big ears. Now, I know that sounds crazy, and I know Mr. Hendry's laughing. Well, you're doing it too, so what do you want me to say to you, Mr. Hendry?
If this was an actual psychological condition that you could cite for me in some kind of a psychological manual or book, or bring a doctor on to talk about it, I might believe you. But you're telling me...
I'm telling you I suffered from it, and this other guy I just talked to, the gentleman in the airborne.
No, all he said was if he had a driver with him who had a problem with silhouettes, he'd take the wheel from him.
Yes, and you two clowns, excuse me for calling you a clown, but...
Oh, what difference does it make? You're calling the drivers around you gooks.
And that's another thing I don't understand.
Yes, sir. What don't you understand?
The terminology "gook." You're generalizing everybody as a gook. That's extremely outlandish.
I realize it's extreme. I realize it's extreme. But there are days when you're out driving a truck, just like there are days when you're out grocery shopping or getting your nails done. If you're a female, and everybody is a gook scrambling from the Ville.
No, sir.
What
no,
the hell are you talking about?
That is extremely ridiculous. I don't generalize everybody as an enemy in combat. I'm not in combat if I'm at my house. If I'm with my son, I'm not in combat. I don't look at my neighbor as a potential threat. That's ridiculous. That's
I'm telling you,
life.
Times are tough. Times are tough. And life
they
is tough.
Make them tough, they're tough. Yeah.
And when you look at your son, you don't sometimes think, boy, this kid, if he wanted to, he could make a lot of trouble for me.
What?
You know what? Forget it.
You guys don't want to listen to an experienced man, fine.
I see no experience from you. None.
I'll peddle my papers.
A general is supposed to have.
I'm a general.
Being honest, I'm a private citizen. I would be ashamed if I was under your divisional command.
Well, I would be ashamed. Well, then, son, you'd be doing a whole lot of latrine duty. Oh, this is General Galen Shaw. Out.
He hung up. I can thank you. Thank you very much, Kevin. I share your disquiet about him, especially that whole silhouette thing. I think, personally, he ought to see a psychiatrist. There's no question.
I don't know. I mean, if anybody who's strapped on a pair of boots and they see this guy as a general, a high-ranking and they were like, this dude, I'm being punked. I've got to be punked.
Yeah.
Where's Ashton?
Yeah, no kidding. Where is he? Where is Ashton? He's probably with his latest girlfriend somewhere, but he ain't here. All right, Kevin, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it. There goes Kevin on the world-famous Phil Hendry. What does he want?
He thinks he's being punked. So he knows there's something wrong with you, Hendry. And I knew there was something wrong with you the day I saw you with Ashton Cooper.
Anyway, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler has called us back and joined us with General Galen Shaw, no longer on the line, Dr. Sadler. That was quite an experience for you. Called earlier, and you did attempt to help the general, but I guess he took it to mean that, you know, you and I thought he was crazy.
I was not going to stand for what he later, obviously in referencing me, attempted to impugn me and say that I provoked some violent reaction either in him or the violence that he felt I would have provoked in other people.
In what sense?
Well, when he referenced the fact that I do drive a Mini Cooper and my silhouette, if you want to say that I don't believe I have ears as pronounced as he says, but his direct quote was, give it to me again, Tiffany, what's the quote? Yeah, he said that I had a silhouette like I had big Dumbo ears, and that prompted a violent response in him. I think that is unconscionable. I will sit in any kind of a car I want, and if my silhouette, and I'll drive into the rising sun, and I think that's probably what he meant.
What do you mean? What do you mean you drove into the rising sun?
Well, that's how pronounced my silhouette would be if I'm driving into the rising sun.
Oh, and then he's going to see the silhouette of your head and your big ears. Okay. Debbie Daly does a morning show on National Public Radio, and she is joining us now. from New York tonight, and Debbie has just been driving around. Debbie does a, by the way, for those of you who don't know, Debbie does a morning show for National Public Radio. She is the first hearing impaired person to do a radio show at all for any big radio network, and she joins us on her newsmaker line tonight. She had just been listening to General Shaw as well. And Debbie, how you doing, hon?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
She said, when you're purposely driving into the rising sun, doesn't that, aren't you trying to provoke something?
If I'm purposely driving into the, what is your name again?
Debbie Daly, she does a morning show on NPR.
All right. Debbie, I have large ears. And last time I checked, that's not against the law.
She said you have to understand that it probably is irritating. It would irritate the living hell out of her.
What would irritate the living hell out of you?
The fact that you have a couple of big fan ears.
You know, but both of you can. I don't care if she is hearing impaired. I hope a spike is...
Are you there, Debbie? I know, but he hung up, and there's nothing that... what are you going to do? He... I don't know. Oh, I'm a douchebag. Okay, see you later. You know, I'm going to tell you something right now. Why do I got to talk to her for?
Because Mr. Hall said it's good for the program and make it look like you care about them kind of people.
Oh, it's good for the program. It makes me look like I care about them kind of people, huh?
That's what he said. He talked about it yesterday.
You know what I smell? I smell Hall calling her up and saying, hey, Debbie, I had a talking to Phil. Why don't you call the show, man? He'll put you on and you can rap. He's such a big shot. And let me tell you something else, too. I don't have to sit here and take these phone calls from her, and then at the end she gets off the parting shot about me being a douchebag either. Now, I will agree with her that, you know, Dr. Sadler, let me tell you what, anything about that guy irritates me. Anyway, why am I even talking about this?
Yeah, Debbie Daly called up and got to put her on the air.
I don't have to put her on the air. Why do I got to put her on the air?
There's a whole lot of hammer on, so you sound like you care about people what is deaf.
Well, I don't care what Mr. Hall says. I don't care what he thinks. I don't care what his perceptions are. I'll put her on when I feel like putting her on. And I would not have stuck her on the air tonight had I known she was going to lock out with, see you later, douchebag. Oh, man. There's something very amusing about that.
What's funny about that?
I don't know. She's doing some NPR show. She's locking out with douchebag.
You got David Hall.
Oh, for God's sake.
He just wants to.
Yeah, David.
You knew I was going to call, right?
What do you got to call about, man?
Phil, look, I don't want to... Let's calm down, okay?
What do you got to call about?
Let's calm down.
What do you got to call about?
Would you just calm down more?
What do you got to call about?
I'm sorry, a little bit more.
What do you got to call about?
Just whisper.
Get out of here, will you? Whisper.
Instead, he want to talk to you.
Is that... What, David, I'm not whispering, okay?
All right, I'm sorry. I'm just telling you, when you start taking these people on, you don't know what you're fooling with. You don't know how powerful they are. You're suddenly laying out the game. You're letting everybody know what the game is. You're making them look stupid. You're making them look like a bunch of clowns. Phil, you're dealing with things, and you're messing with things that could blow right up in your face.
What is this, some John Grisham novel or something? I'm talking about business.
Sure, you're talking about business. Love to believe you're talking about business. Everybody out there believes you're talking about business. I think you're talking about business. But the people that are way, way up, those are the ones that are hearing you, and they're hearing a guy that's out of line, a guy that's not on the team, a guy that's not on board. And you know what happens when you're not on board?
No, what happens?
Phil, don't be a jackass. Yeah.
What happens with a guy that's not on board?
No?
Oh, will you bug off?
I don't know.
A guy that's not on board. What's he mean about that?
I don't know, man. I wouldn't let it worry you.
Well, I'm not going to let it worry me, but...
Forget about it. He's kidding.
You were the guy a minute ago that said I was going to get fired.
I was just joking.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. You were joking. And what are you looking at?
Nothing, man. Nothing. I think everything's going to be okay.
Get him back on the phone.
Phil, I swear to...
Get him back on the phone!
David Hall.
David, it's Phil.
Ain't you got a show to do?
Yeah, I had a show to do until you came jumping in with this, hey, those guys upstairs. Now, what are you talking about?
Just don't mess with stuff you don't know anything about. When you start messing with the way that a guy eats, where a guy gets his food from, you're messing with a guy's rice bowl. You can't mess with a guy's rice bowl, Phil. You see, you're...
Would you knock it off with this Glengarry Glen Ross? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you spilling the beans on iHeartRadio. I'm talking about you talking about how you're getting stiff. I'm talking about you talking about how these guys are making dollars and you're making pennies. I'm talking about messing with a guy's rice bowl.
Dude, somebody's messing with my rice bowl.
What do you mean your rice bowl? I thought you didn't want to do the Glengarry Glen Ross.
Okay, that's it. I don't want to talk to him anymore.
Yeah, but he's making some points.
Get him out of here. I don't want to talk to him anymore. Messing with my rice bowl.
Phil Hendry.